Welcome back to KNBR, the sports leader, talking baseball. Marty Leary is off. Bill Lasky is in. And can't wait to talk to my next guest, a good friend of mine. I was his sidekick for TV in Sacramento for a couple years. And he is the voice of the Sacramento Rivercats. He also does television. Let's bring in Johnny Daskow. Good afternoon, Johnny. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Tree. How you doing?
I'm doing good, my friend. Good afternoon. Labor Day weekend, kicking back. Let's go back a year from now, Johnny. You were national champions. You were fighting to take that national champion trophy, and sure enough, the Rivercats did it. How was that feeling, and how did that all translate?
It was a great feeling, Tree. You know, I just looking at that ball club, and it was one of those clubs where you didn't have any cliques on the team. You had the veteran guys. The guys that, you know, had been around a while and they're in AAA, they bought into it. And you didn't really have guys that were disgruntled. I mean, obviously guys want to be in the big leagues when they're in AAA, but you had a lot of guys that just wanted to win and they had fun. And, you know, the Francisco Peñas, you know, we had Stephen Vogt early on. We had a bunch of guys that just wanted to be there and wanted to win. And when you have that in AAA, you have that kind of chemistry, you win a championship, which they did.
You know, I remember talking to you so many times last year, and I'd look at the roster, and every roster would be changed. In a couple of weeks, I'd be up there every Saturday, and I'd say, Johnny, how are you doing this? How are you doing radio with a new guy every day? It seemed like a revolving door was moving. How did you do that?
Well, you know, you just each new day, new guy comes in. But again, like every guy that came in seemed to buy into what Dave Brundage and Damon Minor and the whole coaching staff, Holbrook Cabrera, what they were trying to do. And Steve Klein, of course, was there. And it just, I don't know, it just seemed like everything meshed. And, you know, every time, you know, when the Rivercats got in the playoffs, they had the worst record of any team that got in the playoffs. And each new series, they just seemed to get better and better until they won it. So you just, I don't know, it was a very special year. And they just refused to lose. It was one of those situations where the team was just on fire, and they got momentum late, which I think was huge.
We're talking to Johnny Daskow, the voice of the Sacramento Rivercats radio and television. And one of the things that I know you love to do, and interviews and all the different players on both sides, visiting side and home side, is to kind of get to know guys. And there was a call-up last year that really got you, and that was Tyler Rogers. It wasn't just the excitement of him. It was Brundage and your coaching staff, as well as you. And you told me flat out, it almost may have had you in tears because of the excitement of that locker room for Tyler Rogers. Tell us about that moment.
Yeah, it did. It was special. And, you know, Tyler had been an all-star a couple of years in PCL, and every player in that clubhouse, in the Rivercat clubhouse, wanted him to get the call and thought he deserved the call. So when he finally did, and I had talked to him before about it, I said, well, who's your first call going to be? He said, my brother, because his brother's, you know, they're so close. Yeah, his twin brother, Taylor, and they're so close. So when he finally got that call, Chris Shaw told me later, he said, never seen a clubhouse erupt like the clubhouse erupted when Tyler finally got that call. And when Dave Brundage was kind of explaining what happened to me, he told me that Tyler called his brother, and he couldn't even utter a single word. He could not even talk, and he didn't have to, because that's one of my haikus too. Because he couldn't even talk. He was so overwhelmed with emotion, and they were both end up in tears on the phone. And just to, you know, just how far he has come, and just to see the success he's had in the big leagues. It was emotional. And the way Dave Brundage explained, I was in Dave Brundage's office in tears hearing that story about Tyler getting called up. It was really cool moment.
And you know what? Fans hear it and they understand it, but they don't see it, and they don't see all the things that players have done. And Tyler Rogers, there's a guy, three-time PCL All-Star, and, you know, just battling it all different ways. Because I asked you last year, why is he in middle relief now? Well, he's trying everything, Bill. And why is he a closer now? Well, they're trying everything. I mean, they were trying every which way to put him in a scenario of any bullpen that they could use him in the sixth or seventh inning, as well as the eighth and ninth inning. And, of course, this year they're doing exactly what they tried to make him. And he's handling it very well. He had a couple different shaky outings, but most of the time he's been spot on with that submarine style pitch.
He has laughed. And, you know, the great thing is, here's a guy, he doesn't light up the radar gun, right? And a guy just, He's funky and finds a way and hard to pick up. And you talk to certain opposing hitters that have faced him that are like, I can't hit this guy. I can't pick it up. I can't pick up the ball. And just to watch, you know, watch him have success, such a great human too. So to watch him have success like this at the big league level, everybody's thrilled, really happy for him.
Well, you got to be scratching your head. No baseball, no summer baseball. I mean, what are you doing? Practicing on games and during the week, watching them? You just practicing and make sure you're understanding what the game's about, or just kind of? I mean, it's got to be tough for you as well as a lot of them other minor league announcers and even the organizations with all the staffs and employees that have just been sidelined with COVID-19. Tell me how you're adjusting to all this, Johnny.
It is so weird, man. Like, it's just so, you know, I haven't had a summer where I haven't called ball since 1992. So it's been a long time, you know, from Cedar Rapids to High Desert, Fresno and Sacramento. And it's just really, it's really strange. It's really strange not being able to call baseball. I have listened to Coop and Kipe and Dave and John just following up on the Giants. And but it's just really weird. It's just really strange. And I think, I'm pretty confident 2021 we will have AAA baseball. I don't know what that's going to look like last, but I'm just not used. You know, the first, you know, you have the off season, and then you get to about January and you're getting ready. Then you get to February, March, you're ready to call ball again. And to not have that was really, really strange this year. It was just really odd to be home and not be traveling. You know, you travel half the time and just didn't have that this year. And it was really odd. It felt awkward, and I'm hoping we can get it going next year.
Yeah, we're speaking to Johnny Doskow this afternoon on KMBR, the sports leader. You know, one of the things that everybody's kind of talking about is the future. You just talked about it in 2021 with all the minor league cities, and most of these ballparks and teams rely on that summer ball to keep them afloat. Do you think that's going to be a domino theory in some of these teams that might just close up?
Yeah, you know, I think the AAA teams, most of them will be okay, and the AA teams, the A-ball teams I worry about. We talk about 40 to 42 teams being slashed. It's going to be brutal for those communities. And, you know, those are the lifeblood of those communities. That's sad in itself. And I'm not sure what AAA is going to look like, Tree. Like, I'm not sure if, you know, will it be more regionally based? You know, will we play the Vegases more and the Tacomas and the Salt Lakes and the Renos? Will it be more where it's just direct flights, can deal with COVID, you know, who knows about COVID for 2021.
Yeah, the future of COVID, no one knows.
Yeah, you don't know. So it may be a situation where it's all direct flights. Maybe the trips to Des Moines and the trips to Memphis and Nashville and Oklahoma City, maybe we won't have it anymore, which would be a real shame because those are great cities. So it might be more regionally based in 2021 and 2022. I don't know. I just I could see it changing a little bit in that respect, which is a shame because there's some, as you know, some great cities in the Coast League.
You know, one of the things, Johnny, we talk a lot, you know, over the course of the last couple of months, and we talk about the talent level and what that's going to do, because a lot of these minor leaguers didn't play at all this summer, and what's going to happen next year, and how are they going to be viewed and watched in spring training when you only have 2 or 3 weeks to really compete against spots? How do you feel about the talent? Do you think the older players will just say, hey, forget it, I can't come back, and will there be a team that's interested in me, or do you think the younger guys will have more opportunity to move up faster?
That's a good question, man. That's the big question, right? Like, what's going to happen with a lot of these veteran guys? Will they give it up? Earlier, will it help the younger players? But how will it affect like the talent? If you drop 42 teams, will it make it there's more talent? Actually, I don't know. You got to remember, like, the Keith Hernandezes of the world and the Mike Piazzas, those low, you know, all these guys, these low draft picks that end up being baseball stars. Will that happen? Will the draft won't be 50 rounds. It's not going to be 40 rounds anymore, right? And so it's going to be completely different. So you won't have those guys that were the low draft picks get a shot, which is a shame because you're going to miss out on, I think, some baseball talent, don't you?
Oh, I agree with you. I just think there's going to be so many misses, especially when you get a guy in spring training. He might be nervous as hell and go 0 for 12 and bang, he's released, you know, because there's going to be so many eyes on so much talent. And then how are you going to decipher where they're going to go in double A ball or triple A? I remember talking earlier and I asked one of the farm directors, I said, where would Joey Bart would have been? He would have been in Richmond. And I would have said he wouldn't have been in Sacramento. No, we had him going back to double A, and you start thinking about stuff like that, and here he's in the big leagues. So, you know, how fast are these guys going to maneuver through the minor leagues and how successful? And then you got to look at the other side. How much can they fail?
Right. And will guys be on the fast track more? Obviously, you know, if you have a situation next year like this year, which I don't think they will, that with the taxi squad of the 30 guys and everything, you're going to have to, you'll be forced to rush guys, right? So, I think there's going to be AAA next year. Not sure what that's going to look like. I don't know if there'll be packed houses, and you know, but I would think there will be AAA baseball. Not quite as we knew it in 2019 and before, but yeah, hopefully it'll be better than it was. So there'll be some AAA baseball, which is better than it was this year.
Well, I'm excited to talk about this next subject, and that's the book you wrote, Goodnight, M. And it's about haiku. And it's baseball and life through haiku. And now everybody's going to say, what's that? Well, haiku is a type of short poetry originally from Japan. I'm reading as a definition. Traditional Japanese haiku consists of three phrases, which is really the cutting word. And I know you were working on this book for many years because a lot of the stuff in here is more or less your trails and a lot of stuff through the minor leagues, some big leagues, some different players that you've talked to. But Goodnight, M, and this is about your daughter. Tell us a little bit how that came about. I know how, but the listeners don't. But please expand.
Yeah, well, the title of it, Goodnight, M, that stems from ever since my daughter was born. She was born December 25th, Christmas Day, 2005. And when the 2006 baseball season started in AAA with Rivercats, I would say Goodnight, M, after every broadcast. Broadcast at night, I would say Goodnight, M, and I continue to do that in my broadcast now. So it's just something. She's 14 now, and I just wanted to honor her, so I would say Goodnight, M, concluding every broadcast. But as far as the haiku book goes, it was, you know, my brother, Mad B Dog, San Francisco's favorite MC, he got me into haikus at an early age. I started writing them, and I actually was writing them a lot on the Southwest flights, Flask. I was writing a ton of them. I never kept them, but I read just to make the time go. I'd write a bunch of haikus and just kind of throw them out.
I tell you what, they're really good. I've read the book several times.
Thanks, man.
And I really want to bring up a couple. I want to throw some out here, and I want to hear your thoughts. And the first one is debut. Makes the big league debut. Heart pounding out of his chest. Adrenaline rush. Those three sentences right there is exactly how I felt my first game.
Yeah, that's how guys, like when guys describe it, I go, what was it like? That's most of the time, that's what they say. The heart is pounding out of their chest. They have that adrenaline rush. They got to calm themselves down. And they can't believe they're the guys that they faced, the guys they saw on ESPN, they're now facing. So, yeah, I love that haiku because it describes, and I like haikus because you have 17 syllables to tell a story, and that tells the story of every guy that's put on a uniform at the big league level and how they felt in their debut.
Well, it's not just all baseball either. That's what I love when you say and life, baseball and life. And I'm going to throw one out there. It's about your daughter, Out Hustle, it's called. Volleyball practice, who she's a great volleyball player, just for everybody to understand. My advice to my daughter, outwork everyone. Good advice, Daddy.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, I've always told her that. I said, you know, you may not have the most talent, I said, but you can outwork everyone, and she has really taken that advice. But she works her tail off. So, I love that haiku, and there are some haikus in there about family,
good ones too. But I got to get you this one now. This is the one that I know Johnny Daskow real well. The flap. Bird flapped by my head, wings fluttered, heart skipped a beat, hypnosis needed. You hate birds.
I don't like the flap of the wings, man. I don't like the flap of the wings. It's called erinthophobia. It's an irrational fear of birds, and I do not like that. I don't like the sound of the flap.
Oh, my God. In the booth, you used to jump when pigeons would fly up there. I would just look over to you, and you'd be underneath the table. You hated them.
I hate them. And look, I don't. Birds are beautiful animals themselves. I just don't like the sound of the flap of the wings. I know it's weird. I don't like it. I do need some hypnosis for that for sure.
Well, I got a couple more before I let you go. Memphis ribs, best ribs in Memphis. It's close, but one is on top. The Central Barbecue. Tell me about the Memphis ribs.
I love Memphis ribs. I think Rendezvous is a little overrated. I know some of the listeners may disagree with me that have been to Memphis. But Central Barbecue is a place that Damon Miner Tiny introduced me to. And the last few years, we don't miss it. We go there every time. It's just incredible ribs. Great value, and it's awesome. So there are a lot of great rib places in Memphis. But I wanted to put a few haikus in there that have kind of the flavor of the city as far as the food, because I like to eat.
So I know you do.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially on the road. I know. I've been on a couple road trips with you, and the first thing you say is, where are we eating today?
Exactly.
Which isn't bad. I don't mind that either, yeah. Johnny. But exactly. There's another one. I want to throw a couple more to you before we end. A nice shot. It's about golf. Early morning dew, 9-iron, 130 out, stuck it a foot away. You're a golfer. That's a pretty good shot early morning.
It's a great shot, Tree, and I tell you, I'm not a very good golfer, but I will say this, from 130 in, I'm decent. Like, that's the only part of my game.
You like the irons.
I can't drive, I can't putt, yeah, but like, if I'm 130, 140 out, I'm pretty good. So that's a great feeling for me, because that's about the only thing I could do on the golf course that's worth talking about is when I'm that distance out. But that's the best feeling, when you're that far out, you just and stick it a foot away. It's the best.
Well, we're speaking to Johnny Doskow. His new book is Goodnight M. Johnny, where can viewers get this book? Where can they purchase this book? How can they get a hold of one? Because I tell you what, this book, you can read it and read it over and over again. I know a lot of players have gotten this. And I talked to Stephen Vogt. He loved it. And on and on and on, Chris Shaw. And they've tweeted it out there. How do fans get their hands on this book?
Well, you can go to johnnydoskow.com. Just go to johnnydoskow.com. You can order it there. And, pretty easy. Take you through it. PayPal, Venmo, whatever you want to do. And, johnnydoskow.com. That's how they get it.
Outstanding. So I'm going to leave you with the one on the last page. Sign off. Ever since her birth, in my broadcast conclusion, my words, good night, Em. Well, I'm going to say good night, Johnny. I appreciate your time, my friend, Johnny Doskow. You're my friend for life. And thank you again for joining me this afternoon on Talkin' Baseball.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tree. Appreciate it. Great to
talk
to you.
That was Johnny Doskow, the voice of Sacramento RiverCats for 2021. Let's hope that happens. We'll be right back on Talkin' Baseball. Bill Lasky filling in for Marty Lurie on KNBR, the sports leader.